Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we talk about growing enthusiast watermelons and what it takes to extend the growing season. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain.
It's that time of year where a lot of us have experienced this, I'm sure. And I experienced it today. I came over to record the podcast.
Yeah.
And of course, what do I get because it's that time of year? I get some produce from Dennis because I think a lot of us know if you have a friend that has a garden or grows any produce, particularly this time of year, if you go to their house, you're going to come home with tomatoes or squash or something. But in this case, I'm looking at some jalapenos.
Oh, yeah.
And some hot sauce.
Yeah. I had a massive influx of jalapenos this year, and they, oh my God, they were so, they were like make your lips numb hot, which is,
oh, so good.
It's good, but it's uncharacteristic of a jalapeno just in general. And I'm like, wow, what did I do differently this year?
Well, it occurred to me, Dennis, that we've talked about so many things we do at Hardware Asylum, but we've never talked about your Hardware Asylum gardening habit, or in this case, your hydroponic garden.
Oh, right, right, right.
And well, I know there's some technology in there, and there's a video even we'll link to below that talks about it, but I wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about why in the heck at Hardware Asylum we have a hydroponic garden and maybe talk about that a little bit for those folks that might be interested in that.
Okay. Well, let's see. Where should I start? I wanted to grow some very, very, very special watermelons.
Okay, so tell me more.
Well, I can't. I'll get in trouble. But let's just say that these are very special watermelons, and they're ones that you can't just go down to the garden center and pick up.
Fair enough. Okay.
Okay.
So we got some, let's just call it gray market watermelons.
Oh, that might even be too harsh.
Too much. Not available in Boise, Idaho, where we are located.
Yes, yes. Now, what's unique about those particular watermelons is that they, I've tried to grow them before.
Okay.
And, you know, anyone that's ever grown anything, you know, in biology class in high school, right? It's like there's a certain formula involved.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess mathematics. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it.
Well, right. And the simplest form of that is you have your seed and you make a hole in the ground. You put the seed in the ground, you cover it up with dirt, and you make sure it has water.
That's my kind of gardening right there.
That is the epitome of gardening.
That might be why I'm not very successful.
Well, what happened was that the 3 years I tried to grow these watermelons that way, I would get a rather large plant and I would get watermelons on them. But then watermelons are one of those plants that it requires a really long growing season to actually get fruit.
Okay.
And have it ripe. And so in this case, what would happen is I would have a really large vine and I would get some fruits on there, but then the growing season would end and the watermelons weren't ripe.
Oh, so what do? You're done?
Yeah, you're done.
You can't exactly bring them inside. And
well, yeah, I mean, you could dig them up, put them in a pot, and then maybe get a grow light or something and try to keep them watered. But anytime you move a plant, it goes into what they call shock. So when you dig up a plant and put it in a pot, there's always this shock factor. And, you know, if you're growing something inside and it's not warm enough, the plant's not going to do anything. So long story short, too late at this point, I tried for 3 years to grow these watermelons, and every year would be the same thing, where it's like I never actually got a fruit out of it. So I started thinking, well, how can I extend the growing season in Idaho artificially, right?
Okay, there's got to be some overclocking statement in there, but I'm not finding it.
Well, actually, in a sense, it is kind of overclocking. So what you do is what a lot of home gardeners do, and they start their seeds indoors.
Okay.
And you get like a grow lamp and, you know, you just start them in like March, for instance.
Oh yeah. So you're simulating the warmer weather early. Okay. I totally get it.
Basically you can kind of grow them in the basement. You just have grow light on them. As long as they have constant temperature, they will sprout and, establish themselves. And then when it becomes time that you can put them outside, the idea is that you have a semi-large plant, something like what you would get from the garden center.
Okay.
You know, and then you can transplant them and then grow them. The issue with transplanting is that the plants always go into this shock.
Right.
And as you know, the springs here in the Boise, Idaho region, sometimes in April we'll have a snowstorm.
Yeah, because the spring is unpredictable here. So for those that aren't familiar with the Boise area, I know when a lot of folks think about Idaho, for those of you in the United States or further abroad, mm-hmm. you think of it as being very mountainous. But the largest portion of the state across the southern stretch of it mm-hmm. is high desert.
Yeah, it's high desert. So.
And so it's very dry. And although mostly moderate thanks to our elevation, it's still desert.
Yeah. And it's very susceptible to, you know, changes in weather patterns. So for instance, it might be 60 degrees in March for like an entire week. And then the next week it'll be rainy and 30 degrees. This is Fahrenheit, by the way. And you can't grow anything in that regard. So plants like watermelons that, in my case, they are very susceptible to temperature, they will just shrivel up and die. And then you get to start all over again. This is all leading up to me setting up a hydroponic garden, because then now at this point, you can have a lot more control over what you're growing and how you're growing it.
All right. So I feel like I got to stop you here, because I know not all of our audience are green thumbs, for lack of a better term.
Uh-huh.
So what is a hydroponic garden?
Okay. So hydroponic garden, it's basically growing plants in media that is completely inert. By inert, we are talking, I use perlite, which is those little white chunks that is in planting soil.
Oh, okay.
And it's basically adding air to the dirt so that the plants will grow faster.
So hydro would imply water.
Right. So the with hydroponic and an inert grow media, you are using the hydro portion of it to convey the nutrients that the plants require so that they can grow. And then you allow them to grow in something like perlite or just plain water or even air. And then you supply it with the nutrients that it needs to actually grow. You know, in biology class, the plant cycle was, you know, plants need sunlight because of photosynthesis, right? Uses the green to go and create a bunch of stuff and then converts oxygen and or creates oxygen from carbon dioxide and blah, blah, blah. Well, that is assuming that the media that it's growing in where the roots are have the rest of the nutrients that it requires, which primarily is nitrogen. But then there's a lot of trace nutrients like magnesium and phosphorus and some other stuff.
Okay. Well, it's starting to sound a little complicated, actually.
It is. And luckily, hydroponics has been around for a really long time. And as one of the comments in my YouTube video says, hey, I read about this in this special magazine back in 81, talking about hydroponics and growing in a way that...
Well, you can extend your grow cycle all year round. So I can see how that could be abused.
Well, and also you can grow it in somebody's attic and so that people don't know that you're actually growing these special plants.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. All right, let's not talk about that. But
but the idea is that this has been around for a really long time. Even before then, people have perfected it.
So if you want to get started with your own hydroponic garden, for you at least, mm-hmm. patient zero is what? I mean, what do you need to get started?
Well, there's several levels of entry, much like in a computer.
Makes sense.
So you could go out to Amazon and say, do a search for a hydroponic garden, and you will find these little self-contained grow units that will allow you to grow like lettuces and herbs and stuff like that.
Oh, I think I've seen those. It's like a little desktop unit, right?
Yeah, and it comes with its own grow lamp. It's a little LED thing that you can adjust up and down based off the height of your plants. And it comes with a nutrient solution. You fill up the tank with water, and you add a couple of capsules of the nutrient. And in a couple of weeks, you have plants growing.
Okay.
And there's a pump that will circulate things and stuff like
so,
that.
So, I mean, that's a good way to kind of, I guess, wet your teeth.
Yeah, and wet your whistle, so to speak.
I mean, just get down. Yeah. That term kind of works.
Yeah. And that is technically what they call a deep water culture. Now, there's different types of hydroponics. There's the deep water culture, and Kratky is another version of it. But basically, you have this bucket of water that has nutrients in it. You put your plants into it, and as the plants grow, the roots go down into the nutrient solution. It'll absorb that water and nutrients and then reduces the water level. And then that replaces the water with air, and then the plants will naturally create what they call air roots, which is, they're little fuzzy things.
Okay.
That's how the plants get a lot of oxygen so that they can grow, and they actually grow a lot faster. Well, for lettuces and stuff, there is this formula that Kratky came up with. It's saying, well, if you want to grow this, you need to have this amount of water with this nutrient solution. And by the time the water is all gone, the plant is ready to harvest.
Oh.
So it's...
That's convenient.
It's one of those things where if you have a 5-gallon bucket, you can grow X amount of plants. And at the end of it, the water's all gone, it's all evaporated. You can just harvest the plant and then you start all over again.
New bucket, new plant.
Exactly. Well, you just use the same bucket.
Well,
start a new plant.
New bucket of nutrients.
Yeah. And then there's another formula called the nutrient film technique. And as the name suggests, that's basically a thin flow of water. And the common one to use is like a drain pipe.
Okay.
You know, like around your house, you know, the drip edge stuff.
Oh, yeah, like your rain gutter.
Yeah. Oh, my God, rain gutter. That's the word I'm looking for. So, you know, when it rains, there's a certain amount of water comes off the roof and it flies down the rain gutter. Well, that small amount of water is really all that you need to grow certain plants. And so you drill a couple holes in the top of this rain gutter and you put your little puck in there with a start, and you just constantly flow nutrient water down this rain gutter. The plants will absorb it naturally and then it just kind of recycles.
But okay, so if you want to get started, you can go buy a kit.
Yeah, you can buy a kit. And then, you know, from those kits, there's different ways that you can grow plants. And that's kind of what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, the one that I use is what they call a Dutch bucket.
A Dutch bucket. So I guess you think of Dutch and they grow stuff and they have dikes. And so what makes it a Dutch bucket?
Well, I guess another name would call Beto bucket. But... It works off of the concept of what they call ebb and flow. So there is a certain amount of water that is pumped into the system and then it drains out. And then after a certain amount of time, more water comes in and it gets filled up and then it drains back out. Well, with the Dutch bucket, there is always water flowing in. And then at the bottom, there's about 2 inches of water that's just sitting there. And then there's this little siphon tube. And so when the water fills up to a certain point, the siphon tube will go and suck out the excess water.
Okay, so it maintains a consistent water level. Mm-hmm. And in theory, it's always refreshing the nutrients, right?
Exactly.
Okay, I'm getting it.
And within this bucket, it also is filled with an inert grow media. Again, I use perlite. And what that does is it re-simulates just regular dirt. So when the plants are growing, the roots are... percolating through this perlite, which is kind of these little tiny rocks, right?
Right.
And then that's what supports the plant. As the water is being pushed through, capillary action will go and pull that nutrient water out to where the roots are. The highest concentration of roots is usually where the water comes out at, and that's something you can see in the video that I made, where the tomatoes are just kind of all congregating into one spot. I even had roots growing up into the feeder tube and it plugged it up once, which is kind of fun.
Those tomatoes.
Yeah, tomatoes are really, really aggressive. But the intention here is that by creating this ecosystem of way that the plants can grow in what would be called dirt, and then you can feed it as much or as little nutrient as you want, you can control how fast or how slow the plant grows. And then change the needs or the nutrient levels during different parts of the season.
Okay.
So early on, the plants don't require a whole lot of nutrients. So the nutrient solution can be really light. And the plants will actually grow and establish themselves. And then when they get into the fruiting and flowering stage, you can give them more nutrients. And that will promote more flowers and more rapid growth. And then later in the season... when the plants have actually created their fruit and they're actually just kind of growing that, then you can change the nutrient solution again so that, for instance, if with tomatoes, if you keep the nutrient solution high to promote the flowers, and when it's making the fruit, you leave it high, when you eat the tomatoes, they taste really sour and medicine-y.
Oh, yeah, that's no good.
So you dial it back a little bit and it'll actually make them taste sweet. Or, in the case of my jalapenos, if the nutrient solution is too high, and it doesn't have to be that much higher than normal, it'll make them really, really, really hot.
Well, that's not a bad thing for some folks.
Yeah, it just makes them angry, which is crazy.
Okay, so I know that you didn't just grow those watermelons. So let's talk about this, because if I'm not mistaken, you've had a couple of different generations of this thing.
Right. So let's see.
So it started with watermelons, but when you grow watermelons with other things, do you need to find plants that use the same nutrients? Because that seems important.
Yes, yes. It is virtually impossible to grow tomatoes or watermelons with herbs or lettuce, because those leafy plants require very few nutrients to grow. And if you give them too much, then they will die.
Okay, interesting.
That's just what happens. But tomatoes, they love nutrients. You can just basically, tomatoes are the easiest thing to grow. Basically, in hydroponic, you can just dump stuff in there and not even follow a formula, and the plants will still grow. The fruits may taste like crap, but the plants will actually grow. But once you dial in, making sure the racers are right and the, you know, a whole bunch of their stuff that we can talk about is all correct, they will grow and they will just flourish like crazy. So like the first iteration, I went with, I tried to do this nutrient film technique using a 3-inch drain pipe. So I cut some holes in the top, and then I was putting in, I'd say I had a tomato in there, I had some herbs in there, I had the watermelon in there. And basically everything died except for the tomato.
Oh.
And what ended up happening, well, let's see, the watermelon tried to grow, but it didn't make any fruit. I just tried to keep it going. The problem that I ran into was that, imagine this long pipe. It's about 4 feet long. I had the tomato on the far left, which is where the nutrient water would come in. And then it would flow down to the exit, and the exit is where the watermelon was, and then it goes into the reservoir and then makes a circle all the way through.
Right. Now, this is still using those buckets?
No, this is that 3-inch drain pipe.
Okay.
This
is the very first. The drain pipe is the container. Okay.
Yeah. The container underneath is just the reservoir, so that's just where all the, you know, my 10 gallons of nutrient water is stored.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
So what I ended up finding out was that the tomato was sucking up all of the nutrients. So when the water finally got down the line to everything else, there wasn't enough available for the plant to actually grow. So it was still alive, but it wasn't doing anything. And then when I figured that out, I was like, well, I'm just going to have two feeders. So I had a feeder on the right before the tomato, and then a feeder right before the watermelon. I did that, and then all of a sudden everything took off. It's like, oh, so tomatoes are really, really picky about what they get and what they're going to give away. But the problem was, with the 3-inch drain pipe and the 100-plus degree Idaho weather, the water was getting too hot. And so what happens when the water gets too hot is it doesn't have as much oxygen, and the plants don't grow as well. And so instead of having deep green leaves, you start having these like really pale yellow green leaves.
Interesting.
They were still kind of growing, but they were struggling.
So in addition to nutrients, now we have to pay attention to temperature.
Temperature, yes. Okay. And because much like a soda, right? You take a Pepsi, for instance, right?
Sure.
And it's cold out of the fridge, crack it open, it's bubbly, it's awesome. You leave it out. As it warms up, and then you drink it when it's warm, or even crack it open when it's warm, there's not as many bubbles in there because all of them leave.
Right.
The same thing is true in hydroponic water. So when the water gets warm, it doesn't hold as much oxygen, and the plants suffer from that. So I had went back in, I don't know, several years ago in like a water cooling experiment for my PC. And there was the Bong cooler.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Remember those? And that was basically an evaporative cooler.
If you don't know what that is, don't Google it.
Well, don't Google the Bong. Maybe the Bong cooler. But what I did was I 3D printed some parts. So I 3D printed a quote-unquote shower head. So I had the nutrient pumped up to there, and it would go into the shower head and then drip down. And halfway down, it would run into another 3D printed part was like a grill.
Okay.
And as the water hit that, it would splash apart and then atomize.
Oh, so like a diffuser. Got it.
And then I put a Noctua fan in the bong section that would push air through there and then up the column. And the idea is that it would be removing heat from the nutrient solution.
Okay, so we're air cooling it, essentially.
Yep, air cooling it. And I was successful with that. I was able to drop the nutrient temperature down by 8 degrees.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I lost a lot of water in that regard, but I was able to keep the temperature down, and it was more or less an experiment at this point just to see what would happen. Later on, following year, I went to the Dutch bucket technique, and I didn't need to do that anymore. So,
well, it seems like a lot of work for, you know, when you can just buy a kit, I guess.
Well, of course. And, you know, 3-inch drain pipe is not big enough to grow a tomato. By the end of the growing season, I had to cut the pipe apart with my Dremel to be able to get the roots out because it had actually gone down and around a corner. And I told you this pipe was like 3 feet long, maybe 4 feet long.
Right.
I had roots from that tomato going all the way down to the very, very end and mixing with the watermelon at the very end of the channel.
It's trying to take over.
Yeah. I mean, it was taking advantage of whatever it could because tomatoes are like that. The following year, I decided, well, let's try this Dutch bucket technique and see what happens. And that was the first time that I was completely successful in growing watermelons full cycle. So I was able to start them early in the hydroponic nutrient. And when I transferred them to the actual buckets, there was no stress because there was nothing for it to get stressed about, which was actually pretty cool because I was transferring it from water to water and not from like dirt and having to disrupt it and break things and stuff like that, which was a success in this regard. Basically ran 1/4-inch water lines to each one of the buckets. I had 4 of them, 2 tomatoes, watermelon, and some jalapenos. Same thing I'm growing this year.
Right.
And it was a circular loop, much like with the previous system, except that now the buckets are controlling the water level. And you would be surprised that the constant flow of the water through the perlite actually keeps the water cool enough that I didn't need to chill the water in the container.
I would think you'd get some natural shading too from the plants themselves, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once the plants get established, they shade the buckets. And the buckets aren't black. They're like this beige tan color. So
we'll have to send you a link to the initial kit there.
Oh, yeah. I can put a link in the show notes for sure. So if you want to buy one of these kits, you can do that. And, you know, aside from buying some perlite and setting everything up, it was a relatively easy process and very similar to planting in dirt. There's just a lot of technical stuff and making sure it's like, well, you got to get water in here and then you got to collect the water and then cycle it back through. And then every week you need to go and clean the container because there's stuff that precipitates out and change the, depending on the size of the reservoir, there's certain nutrients that get scraped away during different growing seasons.
Right.
And eventually, if you don't change the nutrient solution, the plants will suffer and they'll start to stress out because they don't have the chemical that they actually need. So some of that stuff you have to throw away and then you go and set it up again.
Well, that sounds really kind of technical. How do you know what your nutrients are doing?
Oh, that's what this box is for.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, I have several things in here. So this guy right here is a pH meter.
pH meter. That sounds fancy.
Yeah. So it's basically
very exciting. Here, I'm popping it open.
Okay. So in a sense, what that does is checks the pH of the water. We have a slightly basic water from our tap water.
Right.
And because it has a lot of nutrients from the ground and everything in it. So it is a pH of around 7. And plants prefer 5.5 to 6.5.
This is interesting. I would have thought it's like a little stud finder or something.
Oh, yeah. It's just if you pull the cap off the end.
Oh, the cap does go. Oh, look at that. Okay, so it does have like a little probe and a little light.
Yeah, and what that's doing is just checking the pH. And when I mix up the nutrient solution, the first time I mix it, it actually drops the pH down to the point where it needs to be. But then throughout the day, I mean, because With my four plants that I have growing, I need to put in about 8 gallons of water every day to replace the water that's being evaporated out by the plants.
Oh, it's makes, a high maintenance, sort of.
Yeah. And every time that I add water, it increases the pH level. So I need to pull that down with some acid.
All right. And this looks almost identical.
Yeah. So this other meter is the, it tests the nutrient level. So there's a parts per million option. And actually here, I can turn it on for you.
Okay.
So you click that. And then if you click mode, it will go through different modes. But the first mode is PPM, which is parts per million.
Okay.
And that will test how many parts per million of stuff is in the water. And then the next one is EC, or it stands for something, but it's the electrical conductivity. And that's the one that I use because it factors in temperature and the nutrient level to determine what, you know, what the EC level is. And then there's the other two are temperature.
Temperature.
Celsius and Fahrenheit.
Oh, okay. It's nice that it's backlit. What do these kind of tools run?
They are
expensive investment?
No, they're relatively inexpensive. Like this pH meter, I think, was like $8 on Amazon. And that meter that I showed you there was probably $4 or $5.
No, it's not too bad.
And it's really designed to test your drinking water. You know, if you go and take the tap water around here, it has an EC of 0.1 or something like that, which is basically all of the hard water minerals that's in our water.
Yeah, that's always a problem here.
And honestly, that doesn't factor into hydroponics as much, but it does have to, it plays into the pH level that needs to be compensated for. And also you need to compensate for that when you mix the nutrients, in which I use Master Blend, which is set up of three different parts.
Okay.
So that first part is magnesium sulfate. That's Epsom salt, basically.
Okay.
That gets mixed with this, the main part, which is really just a tomato-based nutrient.
Okay, so it's got numbers on it like fertilizer, 41838.
Yep.
Which is the parts of the different things, right?
Yeah, there's a big list of what's in there, and it's like magnesium, phosphorus,
tomato and vegetable formula. Seems appropriate.
Yeah, and that's what promotes flowering and stuff. And then to promote growth, because this doesn't have enough nitrogen in it, you have a nitrogen solution, which is what they call NitroCal. You put that in there to provide enough nitrogen for the plants to actually grow, and this is what gives them the dark green leaves and
all
stuff
right,
like that.
So that calcium nitrate's a 15.5 by zero, if you're paying attention at home.
Yeah, and the flowering stuff is only a 4 for nitrogen.
Oh, I see. So that's why you're buffing it up. But there's a ratio you mentioned before. So you're doing...
You do 2 parts NitroCal, at least for the Master Blend. Uh-huh. 2 parts NitroCal, and that has to be mixed separate because of a chemical reaction that happens, which is why these things can't be combined.
Oh, okay.
So this gets mixed with water separate, and then... The Power Grow, which is the tomato stuff, is 2 parts mixed with 1 part of the Epsom salt. And these two get mixed together in the bigger bucket. And then once that's all dissolved, you pour in the nitrogen to create the final solution.
Excellent. And I know if you want to see this in action, you can check out the video that we'll post.
Yeah.
Where Dennis walks through this real time, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And then the last couple of things is I have some acid, which is... phosphoric acid.
Woohoo.
And what that will do is that lowers the pH level. So it brings it down to what I need it to be. And then to help control algae, you just put in some shelf grade hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, wow. So this isn't too much different than taking care of a good hot tub, for example. Some of these chemicals are very similar in nature and name.
It is just adding chemicals to the water to give you the situation that you need.
Yeah. Keeping it balanced makes the hot tub happy. I've been there. So couldn't you find a way to do this automatic? Like I know some hot tubs have automated chemical cartridges, for example, and they do all that work for you?
Yes, you definitely can. Some of those desktop hydroponic units that we talked about before, they have nutrient reservoirs, and then they will dose on a regular basis to make sure that the nutrients are dispersed at the right time. You can also do this from an automatic standpoint using some like dosing meters, like what you see in the hospital.
Oh, okay.
and tie that into a Raspberry Pi. So there are meters like this TDS meter that we just talked about. You drop that into a certain portion of your reservoir, and then you have a pH meter in there as well. And some software just monitors that. So when it says, hey, the nutrient level is too high, it opens up a valve to dump water in. And then that will equalize the nutrient level. Now, if the nutrient level gets too low and the nutrient level is at, or the water level is where it needs to be, then what it'll do is it'll dose the nutrients into it until it gets to the level it needs to be. And same thing with pH. If it's too high, then it will put pH down. And if it gets too low, then it puts pH up. And those are different acids and bases that go and actually put that in there. But I don't necessarily do that because from what I've read, that is actually more maintenance than to go out there and just kind of dump the meter into the bucket and then check it. So it's like one of those things where if it's a large commercial garden, then it makes a lot of sense. That way you can just monitor it from one place and you can keep an eye on what's happening in different areas. But for a small 4 or 5 plant garden, it doesn't make much sense. But ultimately, I did all of this just so I could grow my fancy watermelons. And so far I've been successful for the past two years. You know, the hydroponics it's technical. You know, for a technical guy, it's kind of one of those things you have to do a lot of reading and experimenting and stuff like that. It gives me something to do in the morning. I go out, check on the plants, check on the nutrient level, and then I can go start my day.
It becomes a good habit for you. Mm-hmm. And I am benefiting from the harvest. So I appreciate that. Well, I hope you found this interesting discussion of how you could create your own hydroponic garden.
Yeah, if you have any questions, just leave some comments in the YouTube video or send us an email. For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwireasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardwire Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or subscribe to us on YouTube. This has been an Engineering Production, copyright 2025. Thanks for listening.